No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa, Internet World, West Alabama. How we doing today? It's game week. You finally made it. It is The Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. Monday to each and every one of you guys watching us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify. We appreciate everybody who subscribed, rated, reviewed the show. We're live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios with our guys, Theo Fernandez and Hunter Brantley. Theo, you never mute your computer, so it always double mics you. So follow Theo Fernandez as he tries to figure out technology at Theo Fernandez double underscore. You can follow him right there. You can follow myself at Joe Gaither 6. You can follow Hunter Brantley 8. We're going to have a lot of fun here on a Monday on the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. Call Derek for all your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Home, life, auto insurance needs, renter's insurance needs, boaters, trailers, whatever you need in the insurance realm, you can call Derek Daniel for all of your insurance needs. We're going to have a lot of fun here in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios talking about week zero just here a little bit. We're going to talk about Florida State here a lot of bit. We're going to talk about what we're going to hear from the coordinators today. We're going to hear from Ryan Grubb, Kane Womack, and Kalen DeBoer one last time before the guys go under the hole and get ready for the last 4 days for the Florida State season opener. So we got a lot to get into this morning. But first, we got to check in on our friends. Theo Fernandez, good morning. How we doing? And first, I'm mad at you.
What did I do today?
I'm mad at you, dude. We had a whole plan all week long last week. We're going to get Henry Sklar in here, and the two of us are going to tag team and beat him up. And then what happened? We get into the studio on Friday, and you Benedict Arnold me, and you and Henry beat up on me. I'm mad at you.
Joe, I want to back you so badly, and then you come out with all due respect, the single worst take I have heard you have on this show.
What was the take? Let's hear it.
He argued for us demoting every single FBS program that wouldn't be able to contend for a national championship.
That's pretty bad, but I've heard a worse take. You did say the Giants would make the playoffs, and that's just nonsensical.
That's going to happen.
That is not happening. Five wins this year, picking in the top 10 again. You can pick Jordan Tyson to go along with Malik Nabers.
We are 3-0 in preseason. We are having an incredible year.
Preseason. Hang the banner.
All right, you ready for that banner? Here we go. You guys asked for this. This is all your fault, Hunter. The Giants just became the eighth team since 2009 to outscore their preseason opponents by at least 60 points.
Yes!
Out of the previous seven.
Preseason, yes!
Six made the playoffs. Woo! Two on the Super Bowl. They averaged 11 wins per season. Oh, and Russell Wilson was also the QB for two of those teams.
And so the Giants will shatter that mold and go 4-13 this year. Let's go.
You guys,
8-9.
Saying that like that's a bad thing. I'm happy at 9.
5-12.
That's a losing record, Theo.
This team, 11,
I think that's the ceiling, actually.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, I'm not really that mad at you. I just wanted to pick some Pokemon.
That was a very spirited debate that we had.
I wanted to make sure the people who missed the show might want to go back and listen to the show Friday. That's the point of that.
Oh, it was entertaining. Like, if you want to see Joe fighting for his life, watch Friday's show.
Did you have him in a great jacket?
I was so ready to get to gang up on Henry. Like, I've been waiting for this opportunity for since just about the day I've known him. And you had the chance to make it happen, Joe, and just... I cannot get behind that take.
I just don't want to see Alabama playing Western Tech Carolina U for school for the dumb and blind.
I don't either.
Yeah, but if you don't play him, all right, let's not revisit this.
I know. Well, yeah, that was the point. That was the point. How was your weekend?
My weekend was great. I was out at a church retreat down in Gulf Shores for the weekend, and it was an incredible time getting to.
You bathed in the blood?
I am.
That's right. Praise
Congrats.
The Lord.
Nice job.
That's great. What was the biggest takeaway?
I mean, biggest takeaway, just recognizing going into just the full gravity of the weight of the sacrifice, something that we all know the story, but just when it's put out in certain terms and you can fully, like, there was just a moment where it hits everyone, the full gravity of what happened, and that's a life-changing realization.
I agree with you. Well done. Good job. I'm glad you spent your weekend that way. You ready for some college football?
Could not be more ready.
All right. So we're going to get into today's, we're going to get into week one here in just a minute. But next, Hunter Brantley, good morning. It's been a while. We missed you so much. Hope you. How's your summer been? You rolling into the fall semester?
Summer's been great. And I couldn't be more excited for college football to kick off on Saturday. We had some games this past Saturday that I actually enjoyed, Iowa State and Kansas State. Yesterday, I had the privilege of going to Atlanta for my first Braves game of the year.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Finally.
Did they win?
They did win 4-3.
Yes.
Finally. Love that. And they moved to 16-1 when I'm in attendance at Truist Park. Imagine if I went to every home game this year. We'd be in first place. I mean, we'd be the favorites to win the World Series if I went to every home game this year.
They need to pay you and put you in a special box.
Honestly, they do. I'm like Frank the Tank, but like better and cooler.
16-1 is amazing.
But I haven't lost a home game that I've been to since 2018. Wow, Ronald Acuna's rookie year. Is that not insane?
Who's the Braves owner right now?
It is Liberty Media. The GM's Alex Anthopoulos. Give him a call.
Alex, look. If you want to get out of the basement here, didn't they have a good 2 weeks or so recently?
They did, but they're not making the playoffs, so it really doesn't matter, to be honest with you.
All right.
So they'll be in the Justin LeBron sweepstakes next year.
So what we'll do, Alex Anthopoulos, is hold this card for next season. Right, we say we can't play at the back half of it right here because it'll be wasted.
We can't.
But next year, we're getting Hunter Brantley to all 82 games. And what's 16-1 divided by 18? Like, you get it like 78, 12, so you get like 76-4, something like that.
Yeah,
there we go. We need to hold that card, Alex Anthopoulos.
Surprised the Braves won, considering Bryce Elder was on the mound, and there's a running joke that I feel like the Braves are hazing Bryce Elder by letting him pitch for this ball club, because that dude's borderline barely good enough to pitch for any AAA team in America, let alone a major league team like the Braves.
What are you talking about? He won it. He won this weekend.
He did. That's why I was surprised. He had his best outing of the year. He had a season high 6 strikeouts. Happy for Bryce Elder, but one outing, I mean, I don't know if that really, helps your cause for next year.
Getting better. All right. So we're going to have a lot of fun here talking about some of these topics. I want to take us first to the voicemail line because we want more voicemails. You can call it 205-462-7340, extension 800. We got Dax on the voicemail line. We'll find out what he's got to say.
What's up, guys? It is Dax. It's game week. Oh, my Lord, I've been waiting so long. I'm going to be honest, this offseason kind of went by, really fast. I don't know if it was just y'all, but for me, it went by pretty quick. Maybe because I was giving y'all content with my beautiful voicemails. You're welcome. Anyway, so ready to, throw Florida State into the ground and curb stomp, dude. I can't wait. It's going to be such a good game, and we're going to murder them. I'll give you all my predictions probably on the Thursday or Friday, but anyway, the switch into the 9-game SEC schedule, I think, is an awful idea. Why are we appeasing the rest of college football nation when 7 of our teams have the top 15 strength of schedule with 8 games? We're already forced to play a Power 4 team in the non-con. You're telling me in 2027 we're going to have to play Ohio State and 9 SEC teams? I really don't understand what the move is. Like, yeah, our strength of schedule is going to be even more beefed, but that gives a lot of SEC teams another loss. So it's just going to create a lot more, like, churn, and, like, we're just going to eat each other up more often. Because I don't know if y'all been able to tell, but, like, everybody that was, like, kind of middle tier is, like, kind of creeping up and getting kind of good at football since NIL became a thing. Also, like, the tiny schools that we play, we pay them a good amount of money to come and play us. So, like, we're really giving a lot of money to really tiny schools, and I'm pretty sure they really appreciate it. And I love cupcake games, man. Like, we need them. It's like a bye week for us, and we kind of need those. Like, we need our young bucks to get the reps. I hate that we're going to 9 games. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, we don't need a 9-game SEC schedule at all. Our strength of schedule is already insane. I don't want to have to play a non-con Power 4 team and 9 SEC teams. It's stupid. I don't get the point of it. Anyway, that was my rant. I hope y'all enjoyed it, and I love you. Roll Tide.
Love you, Dex.
Hunter, why don't you take this? Because we've hashed all this out all the way out.
Well, here's my thing. My biggest concern with going to 9 games is some of these big non-conference games like Alabama and Ohio State. I don't think we should do this, but I know some teams already have. They've canceled some of their big-time out-of-conference games.
Because they're soft.
They are soft, and that's weak mentality, and we should not do that. We are the University of Alabama. We don't cater. We don't back away. We don't get scared against anybody. We don't fight back. I think we need to play Ohio State, but, you know, imagine that we have a conference schedule in 2027 that features Georgia. It'll feature Auburn. It'll feature LSU. It'll feature Tennessee. It could feature Texas.
Georgia and Texas got to be.
And then you got to throw on Florida, maybe.
A&M.
And then we play Ohio State.
Yes!
Like, my gosh, why don't we just play the Eagles and the Chiefs after that?
Kidding me now?
Why don't you?
I'm right here.
I mean, my goodness.
Come after me.
My take on this, because I've seen a lot of people saying, oh, look what the Big Ten made the SEC do. I don't view it in that frame. I see it as the 9-game schedule. First of all, it allows the best. All right, so we're trying to advocate, or I say we, like the conference is trying to advocate for the SEC being the premier conference in college football. Playing 9 games keeps it in-house a lot more, right? So you're always playing each other. You have less opportunities to, or I guess you have more opportunities to see the conference face off against itself. You preserve the rivalries. You preserve what makes the conference special. And honestly, you'll have a lot of 3-loss teams that can still get playoff spots.
Yeah, I mean, the college football playoff just changed their criteria to weight teams that play harder schedules.
Like, I think that the single biggest loser from this move is the Big Ten. I think that the Big Ten, the one thing that they had to stand on, oh, we play a 9-game conference schedule. You have nothing now. And you're going to have Big Ten teams going out. And, yeah, on occasion, they'll beat SEC squads. But I think that the SEC will be winning those games at a much higher rate.
Quality wins is going to be a lot better, a better metric than, oh, we went undefeated or we only had one loss. You had a lot of quality wins. Indiana last year.
Right.
What was Indiana's quality wins?
It was non-existent.
Right.
And I guarantee you.
There wasn't one.
If Alabama or South Carolina or Ole Miss had played a 9th conference game that year with that same record,
they would have been in.
Absolutely getting that spot.
Three of them would have been in.
I don't want to see Alabama last year in the playoffs.
I didn't either. Yeah.
I didn't either, yeah.
Oh, I think they're alive.
We might have gotten stomped against Penn State.
Right.
With you.
Yes, that team was so out of gas.
Couldn't have lost worse than Tennessee did.
You're right,
yeah.
Like,
that was embarrassing.
I think the Big Ten, they have to absolutely hate this. Like, obviously, you see people saying, oh, look, they're asserting their authority. Look, they're definitely the best conference in football. And when Ohio State is playing Purdue and Northwestern, and then we see, you know, Mississippi State go up and
beat Northwestern in their non-conference game, and you see the real strength and the lack of depth in that conference, I think it's going to expose the Big Ten in a big way.
I think it was a money scheme for real, to be honest with
you.
They did it to make more money. The SEC did, because now you add that ninth conference game and more people are going to
TV
pay.
TV contracts,
revenue is going to go up. More people are going to pay to see Alabama versus Texas or Florida than Alabama versus little sister of the poor, like Joe was saying.
And you still get to keep those two cupcake games, which I know Joe is not a fan of, but I absolutely am, and I think most sane football watchers should be a fan of.
We should still play cupcakes in November.
Yes, we should play a cupcake open with that Power 4 matchup, play a cupcake week two heading into the SEC schedule, and then you still play your cupcake in November.
I agree.
Perfect.
Piss off the Big Ten people again. Because I know a lot of people don't like that we play cupcakes in November.
What does the Big Ten have to critique about that?
Because you're playing a team that's not that good, and it's basically a bye in November while they're playing a conference opponent.
Yeah, but look at Ohio State's schedule this year after the Texas game. You have bad teams on their schedule.
The only difference is the Big Ten plays them before the season. If I hear anyone ever complain that we play our cupcake in November,
that's a gripe. That's like a common gripe.
It is
from a lot of people up there.
And then, look, they will look for it. And I say this as a northerner, as someone who knows, who has been inside these people's heads, I'm gonna confess here.
I
used to run a Big Ten fan page on Instagram.
Big Ten propagandist Theo Fernandez.
So I've used all these arguments. They will never be satisfied. If we're just trying to appease them, they'll come up with every excuse in the book.
Can't look themselves in the mirror. No accountability.
I just hope we don't cancel big out-of-conference games like some of these teams have. Like, I don't want to see Alabama, Ohio State get chopped.
All right, so I guess my question to you then, Hunter, is how do you feel about the years where we have two matchups scheduled?
Do it!
I like that. I don't want it to be canceled. Yeah, I think.
Okay, so we're all in
agreement. But I think
here,
Greg Byrne could be in that thinking. He might look around and say he shouldn't, but he might say, dang, we play Texas,
Gregory,
Auburn, LSU,
we're the University
Georgia,
of Alabama. Every team is a cupcake compared to Alabama. Every single team is a cupcake compared to the University of Alabama.
Don't forget who we are. We run this yard, Greg.
Cupcake. Oklahoma State, cupcake. Arizona State, Boston College, Georgia Tech. Every non-conference team that's already on the schedule may as well be a cupcake. Keep it on the schedule. Keep the contracts. Don't let them buy us out. Make them play it on the field. We'll take the money. We'll get the revenue right here in Bryant-Denny Stadium. Don't replace that game with Little Sister of the Poor University. We need to see Ohio State come to town. We need to see Oklahoma State come to town. Arizona State, we need to see. I think there's one with Arizona as well. I know there's one with Boston College.
Virginia Tech.
We need to have the game with Georgia Tech stay on the schedule. They're all cupcakes, Gregory.
And then we build a new arena for Nate Oates.
That's right. Well,
bang.
All right.
Genius plan.
Keep it realistic here.
Can a man dream, please?
All right. Can we not get
our new Taj
Dax,
Mahal?
Appreciate your voicemail. You can call us on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800, especially on Saturday. Goodness gracious. When Alabama is kicking the mess out of Florida State or in a dogfight with Florida State, give us a call, 205-462-7340, extension 800. React to Kane Womack's defensive calls. React to Ryan Grubbs' third down choices. React to Ty Simpson's quarterback play. Right there on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
What do you think Avery Johnson Sr. and his other son were fighting about in Dublin? Theo, did you see this? You were at church retreat.
I saw it last night when I got back.
They lose. Kansas State loses. An ugly game, a defensive game. You know, why are we playing a conference game overseas? But an ugly defensive game that turned out to be pretty fun. Excuse me. But Avery Johnson Sr. and his other son end up in a scrap on the streets in Ireland. What were they fighting about?
Well, I think that
they already put out a canned joint statement. Yeah, we're sorry for embarrassing Kansas State. We're sorry for embarrassing our son.
They showed more fight than the team did that day.
I think, Avery's dad probably forgot to split the G on his last drink, have some Guinness up in the stands. And look, I mean, you put a football game in Ireland.
Exactly. What did you think was going to happen?
Okay, I want to take a quick 30-second sidebar. I love games being played in Ireland. I love the tradition of starting this season overseas. And I know it's a really unpopular thing to say. You're, especially with these non-SEC teams, you're doing everything you can to get money. It's a great way to build some money, build some interest overseas. The other thing, I know the fans, obviously you want to see that game played at home. But at the end of the day, it's about the players and how cool is the experience to go to Ireland for a week, get to play there. It's not like it was a bad environment. It was packed out there. I love the idea of playing games overseas.
I thought the conference game, cool, a conference game.
Okay, so yeah, generally speaking, I think I would disagree there, especially in a game that is a rivalry.
Let Notre Dame play over there. Yeah. Independent. They don't have any conference games.
Let Notre Dame play Ohio State.
Even like Iowa, if Iowa State was playing Arizona State, if it was just a meaningless, I agree then.
But no,
that would be for the Big 12 championship.
Yeah, no real teams go over there. No SEC squads.
For about 20 years, they played games in Japan.
No,
I think we should play our opening game next year in Japan.
Who do you want to play in Japan, Hunter?
Florida State.
No, we're not giving up that Florida State home game.
Florida State.
We want to play ULM in Japan.
Let's play UNLV in Japan.
No. That's where we take the last USF game.
I'd say give it about.
Yeah. There we go.
Because we still have to get one more USF game in this series.
We might have better luck not playing them on American soil, to be honest with you. It might be a good change of pace.
Give it about 4 years, and the Sun Belt Championship will be in Saudi Arabia.
You're dang right.
We can send Auburn to Iran.
That's what.
Maybe not, but I think I know why Avery Johnson's dad was ticked off. I heard someone called his son ugly in the bar after they lost.
His brother called him ugly? It was father fighting his own son. Did you not realize that part?
Hold on. It was father fighting
Wait,
his son.
You didn't realize.
I thought they were teaming up on somebody else.
No. It was father fighting Avery Johnson's brother.
Okay, well, then, yeah, that makes sense. His brother definitely said to his dad, "Hey, Dad, Avery's just terrible at football.
I can do better out there, Dad.
Dad, I'm way better than him.
Dad, why did you give him all the money? Why did you take him to practice? Yikes.
Fighting his son in Ireland.
Do you realize when we did our picks last week, we basically, on Friday, skipped over this UNLV game because they were playing an FCS school.
Oh, first of all, I want my credit as Iowa State pick. Did you have them too, Joe?
No, UNLV won.
UNLV won straight up. 38-31.
Yeah, I'm talking about my Iowa State pick.
Oh, no, I took Kansas State.
Okay, yeah,
great. Well done. Credit. Good job. Woo. All right, great.
I also was on Iowa State as well.
Good work, Hunter.
On the show?
Not on the show.
It doesn't count. On Friday, you need to leave your picks for week one. I'm picking Alabama. I'm picking Texas. I'm picking... just leave us up. Pick at Clemson. Give us your picks for week one on Friday.
It can literally just be a 30-second. You don't need to back them up. Just get them out there.
Hey, guys, here's the picks. Bam, 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 bam. Every game you want
to
pick.
That's an open invite to everyone listening.
Let's have a game. Let's make it into a game. Whoever gets the most at the end of the year gets $5.
$5, $5, $5. They get an insurance quote from Derry Daniels State Farm.
That is a very good reward because that is worth a lot of money.
Worth it.
Absolutely.
All right. So y'all want to move into Florida State just a little bit?
Let's do it.
I assigned Hunter Brantley a task before he came in. I said, he said, oh, we on tomorrow? We still on? I said, yeah. What are we talking about? I said, we don't know. We never know. What about Florida State's wide receivers? We've already looked at their offensive line. We already looked at their offensive line two Fridays back, and I think their offensive line is loaded with a bunch of behemoths. You guys heard our Florida State writer last week talking about Thomas Castellanos, and he talked a little about the wide receivers. He talked a little bit about Squirrel White. He talked a little bit about a freshman that they have. He talked a little bit about the wide receivers, but basically his take was if Castellanos can cut him up on the ground and just make a few passing plays.
Similar to Nico last year.
Well, yeah, see, it's more similar to Davey, cutting them up on the ground and making a few passing plays.
I agree with
Then Florida State's got a chance. So, so Hunter Brantley, what do we know? We'll all back up. We'll all clear the lane, pass in the ball, isolation, little Hunter Brantley, Florida State wide receiver talk. Who is catching the passes in Tallahassee?
The one guy that I circle that I think's the biggest threat to keep an eye on is Deuce Robinson. Last year, he was USC. He had 23 catches, 396 yards, 5 touchdowns, 33 yards per game. And he will likely be the Noles' leading receiver this season. He was the number one tight end coming out of high school. And then he switched to receiver when he got to USC. I guess that was something
Skinny
between
boy.
Him and Lincoln Riley. Reminds me a lot of Kyle Pitts at 6'6", 225 Ooh. Pounds. And I believe that he will be the guy that Kane Womack is circling this whole week, saying, let's not let this guy beat us. Moving on, we got Squirrel White. First off, I don't know why his name's Squirrel. Apparently, his real name is on his birth certificate's Marquarius, and I think that's even worse, to be honest with you. Alabama fans know him well. He was at Tennessee. He had finished the season with 34 catches, 2 touchdowns, and 381 yards.
Got hurt last year.
And got hurt. Yeah, I don't think he played against us.
Yeah.
I don't think he did. I think he missed a couple of games here and there. But I'll cut him some slack. He was playing with Nico last year.
Cool.
So, I mean, that's kind of why his numbers took a dip. He had a pretty good year in 2023 with Joe Mildney. I think 800 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns. Made a really good catch in the 23 game when we played them. Granted, Chris Braswell was covering him on a wheel route, and he had no safety help. So, I mean, what it's worth. It was a good catch. I'll give Squirrel credit for that. But you did beat a slow linebacker at that. Then we got Gavin Blackwell, who's wide receiver 3. He played 4 years at North Carolina. I guess he didn't want to finish his college career with Bill Belichick, so he hit the portal. Now he's with Mike Norvell and Gus Malzahn. And he had 4 catches for 43 yards last year. Was not that integral of a piece for the Tar Heels. He's looking to make some noise here with Thomas Castellanos in his senior season, 5th-year senior. So that's it for the receivers. I don't think anybody else is that worth noting, to be honest with you. Not a whole lot of talent outside of Deuce Robinson. I think, like I said, he is the guy to circle. He's the guy to keep track of the most. And I think Damani will check him all game long. I think he'll do a really good job and keep him in check. And I think Thomas Castellanos is going to have his work cut out for him along with everybody else on this receiving core.
Hunter, what year was Nick Marshall, the quarterback at Auburn? Was that 2018, or was that the kick six year, 2017?
2013 was Nick Marshall.
Really?
2013 was Nick Marshall.
All right, so
Theo, it reminds me a lot of Nick Marshall, actually.
So Theo, yeah, that's what I want you to put. I want you to put 2013 Iron Bowl into your Google right here. Pull up the box score for the 2013 Iron Bowl then. I want to know, make sure that it was Nick Marshall's year as the Auburn quarterback. And I want to know rushing and passing yards numbers that he had against
Alabama. His 2014
Alabama.
Year was very similar to Castellanos in 2023.
So passing and rushing. That's what I'm getting at here is because we're highlighting these wide receivers, and you just kind of, you know, B level players, no superstars really. This Robinson guy has always been trying to make himself into a star, and you know it's tough with Lincoln Riley. And just kind of what's been going on at USC. But and Squirrel White, you know, he was a fine wide receiver for Tennessee, but he was never what, Brew McCoy? He was never really like...
Never Jalin Hyatt.
Right, their top guy. And so you've got a bunch of just like C-plus, B-level wide receivers, but you go back to really the Gus Malzahn offense. And I think that Castellanos has to throw for like $170. Look up Pavia's passing. And while he's looking up Marshall, I want you, Hunter, to look up Diego Pavia last year. Because Pavia didn't clear 200 in that game, I don't believe. It was just timely. It was just efficient. It was just, you've been keying in on the run game for all this. Let me pop you with an 18-yarder. Let me pop you with a timely 7-yard pass. And I think that's really what Alabama is going to be walking into this weekend, where everything's going to be predicated on the motions, on the run game of Chroma, on the run game of Roydell Williams, on the run game of Castellanos. They're going to have enough guys who can run the football that we just need to hit a few passes. And so it's going to be really, really tense. I don't know what's a better word. We're going to be really, really
right.
The defensive backs have to be on the entire time, because when it's called upon in the past, it's like, hey, buddy, you're only going to get about 17, 18 passes in this game, maybe 24 passes in this game. You're going to come away with 8-10 incompletions and make this really, really tough on him, so that they get behind the stick, they end up in third and long situations. And when it becomes third and long, you weren't out there with me on Friday with County High and Central. Their first drive, Central got them into third and long four different times, and County High ended up complete passes, and some of them were absolute prayers to score a touchdown on the first drive. Well, they cleaned it up the rest of the game, and Central beat the ever-living mess out of them. But if you allow these like whoop-de-boot 40 passes to get completed and drive continuing, well, then you're going to be just so frustrated the whole time because, oh, we're winning on first and second down, but oh, darn it, dude got the first down by 1 yard and they're still on the field. We should be off the field, but we're not. So give me what you got with Nick Marshall last year. Was it 2013?
Yeah, 2013 Iron Bowl. He had more rushing yards than passing yards.
Yeah, what are the numbers?
17 carries, 99 yards, one touchdown. 11 for 16, 97 yards, two touchdowns. 6.1 yards per attempt.
Shoot me in the face. Shoot me in the face if I'm the defensive coordinator, because it's just like painfully, you're right there and you're not getting beat with big plays. You're not getting, like, especially that year. That was the year that Gus Malzahn had the triple option with the pass on the end of it. Right. Yeah. It was the handoff to the waters to the running back on inside zone. You had the running back going around basically for the flip, and they got out to the edge. If the corner came up to guard the flip, to guard the pitch, it was, oh, we're going to hit you with a 2-yard, 4-yard hitch. It was a 4-yard hitch or 7-yard hitch right over the line of scrimmage that turned into, well, first down. And it was just like there's so many options. It was hard to guard. And you weren't asking Nick Marshall to really make difficult passes. Ugh, so frustrating. What do you have for Diego Pavia?
For Diego Pavia, this is going to shock you.
Did he really go over 200?
252, 16 of 20.
Well, he did hit the long one to Cedric Alexander. Stowers.
Stowers, yeah, that's right.
On fourth and one.
Fourth and one of all downs.
Fourth and one, and Malachi Moore gets lost and over the top. Oh, pain. All right, what was his rushing yards? It was like 60?
56.
Okay.
For 20 attempts. So not as efficient throwing the ball. That surprised me, actually. 252 yards.
That's good.
It feels like they just carved us up on the ground, to be honest with you. Ugh. Especially in the fourth
quarter. Timely passes. That's really what it's all about. And that's what I'm worried about on Saturday. I'm worried about this Alabama defense. Not that they're not talented. They are talented. But the Gus Malzahn is a madman, is just an absolute insane person who is going to, okay. Theo, Gus, I'm so sorry to say this, but my girlfriend says every man is autistic. But then she goes, y'all all just have your own interests, and you get autistic about it. You with the Bears, Joe. You with wrestling, Joe. Da 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 da. I'm like, okay, I guess you have a point. Gus Malzahn's autism is like his calling plays is like scheming a play is like you're gonna see. With him against Nick Saban, he would, it would be four plays. It'd be five plays, but they'd be hit in such an order that it'd be like, God dang it, that one again? Like, why can't they see it?
Well, the read option again? Right,
there's five plays, and they're all playing off of each other, and he hits them at such a rate and such a, he just got such a good feel for the game of football of, oh, they haven't seen this one in a minute. Bam! Oh, and they, now they're thinking about that. Go back to number one. Number one again. Number one again. Number one. Number three. Number one. Number three. Number one. Number four. Number one. Number five. Number one. Number two. Number two. Number one. Just over and over and over in such an order that is just so mind-boggling and frustrating. I love him. I think he's an amazing offensive coordinator, and I love his style, but like, I am, and maybe that's why I'm so concerned about Saturday, because I do have such high respect for Gus Malzahn. Like, you got a big old, big offensive line who's going to be leaning on Alabama's D-line, and he's going to be running the quarterback. He's going to be running wide, you know, going to be running jet sweeps all game long. He's going to be running read option, just like you said, all game. It's going to be read option, jet sweep. And then it's going to be, oh, we're not reading anything. It's just going to be straight inside zone. And how about a trap?
Design quarterback run to the right.
It's going to be, oh,
tall sweep to the left.
It's third and one again. Of course, they're going to get it because everybody's looking at a different thing. It's third and one over and over and over again. I don't think Alabama's going to lose. It's still on a Monday. But I still am deeper into my feel that it's going to be an ugly, frustrating game.
Joe, if you asked me 3 months ago how I thought this game was going to go, I think I would have been a lot more confident then in this game being more of a blowout than I am now.
Yeah.
I agree with the idea that the more I look into it, the, like, I really think, like, 7-6 halftime score.
Now, before you keep going, I'm not clouding you. I'm not poisoning your mind with this, am I?
No, it's been a slow dosage of poison, but it's come from many different sources.
Turn that stove up a little bit more each day.
It's come, yeah, right. Like, it's, you know, it's starting to spread throughout my body. You know, it's went from mild discomfort to, oh, like, I'm feeling the effects.
Is there doubt creeping in right now?
Yeah, like,
yes.
A little bit. And
doubting Kalen DeBoer?
I still feel very confident that Alabama will win this game. I just don't think it will be by a very large margin.
Hunter, how are you feeling about this game? Because I'm starting to get, on a Monday.
I'm not getting antsy yet. I was already a little bit concerned, but I'm with Theo. I think the level of concern has gradually just increased slowly. And I think by Friday and Saturday morning that I'm going to be just scared to death, to be honest with you. Knowing what Gus Malzahn can do and what he's capable of, I feel like all summer he's just been camped out in his basement with the lights off, with a clicker. All right, next. Okay, they're in a 4-2-5. What's the linebackers doing? All right, they're going to blitz right there. Okay, let's see. What's Damani Jackson doing right there? Oh, he's going to – okay, we're going to run the sweep when he comes this way. All right, let's see. When can I run this read option, just give it to him behind a tight end? Okay, we're running right there. Good. Next.
You're going to get some shovel pass. My God. How many times did Alabama get crushed on a shovel pass, on a timely shovel pass last season? You know that's in the arsenal. You know that's in his cards. And, like, you thinking about Gus Malzahn going from head coach at UCF, where he's got all everything. He's got to run offense, got to run defense, got to run special teams, got to run recruiting, got to run fundraising, got to make sure the discipline is right for everybody, got to make sure everybody's academics are right. Hey, buddy, now you just calling plays at Florida State. All you got to do is put this group of offensive players into good positions and get ready for this Alabama game. It's not. You know, we were standing out there at the facility, and one of your WVA coworkers, who should go unnamed here, was just, Alabama's going to beat the mess out of Alabama's
going to nothing in halftime.
Right, exactly. And I thought, you are the biggest fool in the world if you're not seeing this coming. And, like, you get onto the internet, and you see a big section of the Alabama fans still on Well, it's going to be a blowout. They were 2-10 last year. They stink. They were 2-10 last year. Thomas Castellanos is no good. He's no good.
Got benched last year.
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien.
If you got benched by Bill O'Brien, you must think all of them just clouded judgments from the time that Bill O'Brien was here. And Bill O'Brien really honestly made chicken salad with Bryce Young. I mean, Bryce Young was amazing, but outside of Bryce, that was a bad offensive line. And that was a bad
terrible skill position.
Exactly. That was a bad wide receiver crew.
Terrible. Probably the worst we've had under Saban in a long, long time.
Not far off.
I've been alive.
Yeah, not far off, honestly. And so people are clouded in their judgment on Bill O'Brien and Pete Golding, the two coordinators in that 2022 season, right? And so you get everybody clouded. Well, if you got benched by Bill O'Brien, you must not be very good. He is a perfect fit for Gus Malzahn. It's going to be torture on Saturday.
Nick Marshall 2.0, to your point.
It's going to be torture on Saturday. And so whatever you got to do, eat a good breakfast, you know, have enough coffee. If you're the alcohol in the morning type, maybe have yourself a shot. I'm not, but like whatever you got to do, because it's going to be torture on Saturday. Is kind of my Monday prediction. It's going to be a DeBoer and company. They're going to be able to figure the talent. It is better on Alabama's side. It is, but it's going to be. It's going to be 8-minute possessions for Florida State.
Not to mention it's going to be 100 degrees outside.
Yeah, and raining.
In all likelihood.
And raining.
And war chant. So I'm not a gambling man personally. I don't believe either. You guys are big time. Where, if you were told to place a bet on this game at -13.5, whose side are you taking?
Florida State. Without a doubt right now. Florida State.
You see, I'm on the fence at that number.
See, the only reason that I'm thinking Alabama is late.
That's what I'm thinking.
Right.
Backdoor cover.
You get the late cover. You're up 10. Bama's up 10. Florida State's pressing to close the gap, and you get an interception. You get a Castellanos interception. Or you're pressing to close the gap. We're going for it on fourth down, and Alabama comes up with a stop, and we're all hooting and hollering, yelling, Roll Tide. And the next three or four plays, bam, Alabama scores to take it from 10 to 17.
I could see it being 20-7 and whatever he was just talking about, pick six. We get a run on fourth down, gash him up the middle for 30 yards for a touchdown, and we go up 27-7, and we win 27-7.
I would have very little confidence in my bet on either side.
Exactly. Yeah, if I could say, hey, man, I'm going to pass on this one. Yeah. That's where I'd take my $100. I'm gonna pass on this one because, like, I think that Florida State's gonna be in it enough to frustrate the ever living mess out of Alabama. But I think that when push comes to shove at the very end of the game, you could see some circumstances where, oh, Alabama gets it. It may even be just be a 7-point game, right? It could be even a 7-point game. Alabama gets a stop and Ty Simpson and company marches down to take it from 7-14. You lose by a half point, and you're pulling your hair out. Mm-hmm. I hope that happens to Florida State fans. Yeah. I hope that happens to Florida State fans. A half-point victory. Oh, gotcha. Right at the end. Because I got some Florida State fans that are going to be mad if that happens.
Yeah, good teams win. Great teams cover.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. If we don't cover, we don't win.
Well, golly. All right, so on this track, let's think about some fun defensive sets we can have. Because didn't you want to talk about nickel defense?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead and get what you want out of it. And as he's talking, Theo, you remember what we talked about on Friday, and you remember what we've talked about a little bit towards the back half of the week, where Alabama was playing sets just for a little bit of time with six defensive backs. Not five, six. Mm. And so Kane Womack's a madman himself. What kind of defensive sets is he going to be cooking up on Saturday? Go ahead, Hunter.
So I'll say this. I think we're all in agreement. I think we can all agree the secondary is the strong suit of this defense, without a doubt. I think we can all agree on that. Well, with that being said, we run a lot of nickel, 4-2-5, and I get it. That's what Kane Womack does. But when you have a secondary that's as talented and as skilled as this, because last year, I think we can all agree as well, our secondary was terrible. It was awful.
I mean, awful is a strong word.
I think it wasn't as good as this year, but I mean, we definitely, if Nico could throw the ball down the field, we lose that game by 3 or 4 scores.
Okay, that was a bad game.
If we
came
up against a quarterback that could stretch the field and throw it vertical and hit some deep balls, then we could be in trouble. This year, I don't think that's the case. And with that being said, I think Cam Calhoun and Deshaun Jones are really good. Obviously, you got the starters, Damani and Xavien, flanking each other on the corner position. Then you got Bray and Keon at the safeties at the back end. We really need that fifth defensive back when you have this much skill talent. And when you come up against teams that love to run the ball, you don't really need that extra defensive back in the game. I'd rather have a Keon Keeley in the game. I'd rather have a Kelby Collins. I'd rather have a Justin Jefferson to stack that run box and limit the runs and limit the amount of yardage they get running the football. And then you make them throw the ball because now they're dead to rights. You got them right where you want them. And I think that that should be the game plan against Florida State. It's that you stack that box and you make Thomas throw the football. And it seems like it works more times than not.
I disagree because I agree with your first half of the argument, but I think you can still run that 4-2-5 in a way that will allow you to have one of those guys, you know, higher up, closer to the box. Like when you look at how talented these guys are, why wouldn't you want to keep as many of them on the field as possible?
You're going to be mad when you see six DBs on the field if you want to take one away and go to four.
Right. Like you started off with the right take. When you want your strengths to be highlighted as much as possible.
Right.
You know, you at four guys, we're looking at Domani, Bray, probably Saab and Xavien. We're keeping Calhoun and Jones off the field. Meanwhile, we could probably run a set where all six of those guys are sharing the field together. How hard would that be?
Maybe on 3rd and 20. Offense? I'd rather get pressure on the quarterback. Don't give him all day to throw. Because at some point, he's going to find time. Somebody's going to get open.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And do you not want to see Keon Keeley and Quay Russo on the field
together? I want to see him, but
I want to see that so bad.
I trust that, like, Kane Womack's a freak. I trust that he will find ways to use these guys in freaky ways, in extremely creative sets that will still allow the defense to do everything you want to see out of it, just with insanely talented players out on the field.
Yeah, I think that what we saw on Tuesday with the six defensive backs is indicative of the experimenting that's going on right now. I think that what you got the base 4-2-5, and I think you can fill in every position. You got Keenan Overton,
James Smith,
and Quay Russo, and Quay up front, right? Basically,
and then you got Deontay,
Justin Jefferson, or Nakai Green, you know, as your third, whatever. You got those two, and then your five. You ended up with Dejon Lee at the field, Damani at the boundary. You're going to go Xavien Brown at Husky. You're going to end up with
Keon and Bray
in the back.
That's free,
right?
Strong.
Well, so you think Lee over
Cam Calhoun?
Jones? I think we'd have Deshaun Jones on the field.
I think Cam Calhoun's going to be that fifth DB, to be honest with you. I think they'll all rotate.
I mean, they'll all rotate.
Deshaun's going to start.
They're all going to rotate, but I believe that Dejon Lee is going to be playing mostly at field corner. And so that's how you're going to start. But you're going to, what we saw, you're going to end up pulling one of the inside backers off the field and putting a safety on the field. Another safety on the field, but a six. But I think your adjustment is to go from taking one of the five, take your Husky off the field, and you end up with Quay basically playing Husky, because he's going to be, stick with me real quick. You're going to end up with the Husky taken off the field, and Xavien will kick out to the field. You'll pull Dejon Lee off the field, and you'll end up with Tim Keenan, LT, James Smith, and your boy Keon Keeley, Keon Keeley, Jordan Renaud, Kelby Collins. Yeah. Yes. So as a four-man front, as a true four-man front, right? And then you're going to end up with you'll end up with Quay, Jefferson, and Deontay. Quay, Nakai Hill-Green, Deontay. Some form of fashion of those three. And that way that when they're hitting you on the edge this weekend, it's like, oh, you got to block Quay Russo out there. I think that there's going to be some really creative way. Like, do you remember On Wednesday, Colin Gray, Tuscaloosa News, asked Kane Womack about the balance of playing just the 4-2-5 versus playing your best 11 defenders.
I remember that. I wasn't there. I remember that answer.
And he was like, well, that's the big challenge now, isn't it? And he played the coach's answer. I think that you're going to see packages and experiments with that you're like, what are we doing? And then you're gonna have, it's gonna take a couple snaps to where you're like, oh, this is what we're doing. Okay, this will work, because the defensive personnel is so, I think it's really talented, and so it allows Kane Womack to just say, yeah, everybody knows it's 4-2-5, but on these downs is it actually 4-3? On these downs, is it actually 5-2? Is it, you know, is it 3-4? You know, we're going to get different looks through the game, and I think he's going to use different looks to really try to mess with Gus Malzahn.
Agreed. You think he'll do any experimenting on Saturday about what he can get away with and what he can't get away with as far as formation and personnel is concerned?
I think you stay. I mean, I think you experiment to a certain extent, but you save a lot of that for you.
Why?
You don't got to say nothing for you.
You're playing straight 4-2-5 against those jokers. No, you're starting to. What you're doing on you're doing on Saturday is you're messing with Mike Bobo. You're messing with Mike Bobo starting on Saturday. All right, Mike Bobo, Georgia trip, right? Okay. You're messing with Mike Bobo on Saturday by messing with Malzahn, right? By messing with Malzahn-ski. Well, shoot, what are they going to come out in this in on this drive? Is it going to be 3-3-5? Is it going to be 4-2-5? Is it going to be 5-2? Is it going to 5-2-4, right? What are they going to come out? And so you're doing this to disrupt Castellanos. You're doing this to disrupt Gus Malzahn, but you're also doing this to overload Mike Bobo and the Georgia Bulldogs staff, being like, oh, bleep, we've got to prepare for a lot more now because the talent is stupid. The only place that I think you're thin is inside linebacker, and we've talked about it right now. And, like, you hear really good things about the freshman inside linebackers. So if that is even shored up, then, and you're deeper than just the first three, then you're able to really do a lot of stuff defensively, because I think your defensive line group is really solid. I'm excited about Edric Hill. I'm excited about Jordan Renaud. I'm excited about, every time we're out there, Hunter, Freddie Roach is mother bleeping Steve Bolobumwa, because I think that they really think that he's got some potential to contribute this year. And so because each of these position groups is so rich with talent, I think Kane Womack's able to get his mad scientist on.
See a lot more exotic blitzes. You could say that.
Yeah.
Maybe feature a package with Quay and Keon.
Yes.
At the same time.
Yes.
Like, go crazy, Kane Womack. You know what I'm saying?
And so if that's what happens and Gus Malzahn is confused, do you get an Alabama easy cover?
That could play in our hands, to be honest with you. If he does all of that, if he, you know, gets crazy, gets creative, kind of like against Georgia when he blitzed eight guys, he ran and gave eight on the goal line, which led to safety. That's what we need. That's what we need more of.
Kill.
I'm excited to see what's cooked. And it is a fascinating OC versus DC battle.
That's the biggest part to me.
Awesome. It really is.
All right, one more aspect schematically, but as we're rolling into the week. Tony White running a 3-3-5 is apparently disguising a lot of stuff. How do we think Ty Simpson is going to be able to pre-snap? All right, this is what they're in. This is what I want to do. Get Alabama into the right plays and make the right reads after the snap, Hunter Brantley.
I think he's going to have a lot of success on Saturday. I think in this instance, we talk about it all the time. It's more Jimmy's and the Joes than X's and O's. I just, across the board, Earl Little was great at Alabama. Not sure how good he is right now at Florida State. And I think that was a byproduct of last year, what we saw. I don't know how many guys they got from the transfer portal this year. I imagine they got a lot. Yeah, that's what I figured. But I still think the case is still the same, that it's more about who is out there on the field than it is the 3-3-5 that Florida State runs. I think Ty Simpson is going to have a lot of success. I think if he just distributes the ball, similar to what we were saying about Castellanos. Just get it to Ryan Williams. Get it to Jeremy Bernard out in space. And then lean on the run game. I know Jam Miller's not going to be healthy. That's my biggest concern, is how are we going to run the football? We struggled with that at times last year, but I think more of that was not opening up the playbook for Jalen Milroe and not using every pass concept that we have in our arsenal. And then along with, obviously, you can blame Milroe for sure, but the Eagles got away with it this past year. I think Jalen Hurts had 2,900 rushing yards, passing yards, and Saquon ran the ball for 2,000 yards. So it can be done without throwing the ball all over the field. I think Hurts had 18 touchdowns with 5 picks. So if you have a good enough offensive line, you can run it right down their throat. Obviously, it helps to have a quarterback that can stretch the field and the defense at bay with your arm. But, I mean, that's my biggest concern, is how is Alabama going to run the football to open up those big passing plays?
Theo?
Yeah, I mean,
Ty Simpson?
That was said very well by Connor. I mean, I'm ready for a mistake to be made early.
Yeah.
I am very ready for a first half interception. Beyond that, like, look, I'd say a relatively high level of trust in Ty Simpson.
Yep.
I'd say that as you adjust to the environment, as you settle in, as you get past the, there are 100,000 fans screaming at me, what is going on? Why is it so hot out? Like, once you settle in from all that, I trust him to get the job done later in the game. But said it before, I'll say it again. I'm expecting an ugly start.
Absolutely. So we will find out what happens on Saturday. What we're going to do for the rest of the day is head over to the Malmore Athletic Facility. We're going to hear from Kane Womack, Ryan Grubb, and from Kayla DeBoer. You'll be able to see all those videos on the Bama Central YouTube channel. We are in game week. Tomorrow we get some players to talk to. Wednesday, they go dark. You got the SEC coaches teleconference. If you want to hear a little bit more from Kalen DeBoer, you got Hey Coach will make his, Coach DeBoer will make his first appearance of the year on Hey Coach Wednesday night. No media on Thursday or Friday. Everybody's traveling down, and we'll have a great season opener on Saturday against the Florida State Seminoles. Make sure you follow Theo Fernandez at Theo Fernandez _. Follow Hunter Brantley at Hunter Brantley 8. Myself at Joe Gaither 6. You guys can call the show at 205-462-7340 extension 800. If you want to leave a voicemail, leave a take on this Florida State game. You can get your opinions, your thoughts, your concerns right there on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340 extension 800. We're going to talk to you tomorrow right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.